This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson. And today I have on a special guest, a professional piercer from here in Winona. His name is Casey Morrison. Casey, thank you for coming on in.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
You know what's funny is you told me when you walked in the door that you knew me from wrestling.
Yep.
And you said you started doing a little training for wrestling. And so that's how you kind of remembered me from doing some of the shows down at the brewery here in town. So,
oh, yeah.
That's really cool. But you reached out to me, and I love when people reach out to me. It makes me feel important, I guess. But you said, hey, you ever want a piercer to come on? And I said, well, that's interesting. I have zero piercings myself, so I don't know anything about that world, but I always love learning about something in the world that I have zero knowledge about because gives me a lot of questions to ask.
Right.
So you chose Diet Cokes today, so you're not the first person to choose some Diet Cokes. So let's crack these bad boys open, and we'll give ourselves the cheers.
Here we go.
Cheers. Diet Coke seems to be becoming a fan favorite of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I got you a water, too, if you need one.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, you work in town here, and if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, but you work at Red Wing?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and now that's also a tattoo place, right?
Yep.
So you have tattoos, and you're the piercer.
Yep.
You don't do tattoos?
You don't want a tattoo from me. I've tried it. It does not end well.
Get a stick figure.
Yeah, at best.
That's
yeah,
great. That's great. Well, I mean, tell me about the history of it, because I know Red Wing's been around for a very long time. How many people are in the shop then?
Yeah, so we have two tattoo artists, myself as the piercer, and then we also have a nail tech in there.
A nail tech?
Yep.
Okay.
Just like as the world progresses, like things start integrating a little bit more.
Sure.
And the work that she does is very much like portrait work on nails. And
okay.
In my head, nail art is art. We're an art studio.
Sure.
Like, it makes sense.
Yep. Well, that's really interesting because, okay, so there's tattoos.
Yep.
There's piercings. And there's a nail tech.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else in there?
Currently, that's what we have at the moment. We're thinking, we have like ideas that we're thinking about tossing around.
Sure.
But currently, that's what we got.
So is it just a three-person place? Or is there multiple workers there?
So, yeah, the two tattoo artists, myself, so four people total.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. So this is pretty, I would say, a pretty family-friendly type atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yep. And where's the location of this? Is it just right downtown here in Winona?
Yep, we're right down on 3rd Street.
Okay.
So like a block away from here.
Oh, yep. Perfect. Well, you said you wanted to talk about some of the history of Red Wing. Is that true?
Yeah. So my father-in-law, well, my in-laws, started the shop. My father-in-law was the first tattoo artist in that studio upon starting it.
Okay.
And that actually started back in Red Wing, Minnesota, hence the name.
Sure. I figured that's what it was.
And then a little over 20 years ago, they moved it to Winona just because there was like a bigger community here, more opportunity.
Sure.
And then ever since then, like, we've been thriving. We are the longest running tattoo studio in town here.
Okay.
And it's great to see it progress because I started going there as a client.
How you got introduced to it?
Yep.
Okay.
So, I started going there. I got my first tattoo there. I got a bunch of piercings there. I met my wife there. my wife is, the child of, the originators of the shop.
Sure.
So, walked in there, smitten instantly. So that snowballed, and it's just I've been like involved in the shop ever since, and it's been a pretty fun ride.
So when you first went in there, were you a piercer at all?
No.
Just went in there as a client?
Yep, went in there as a client.
Okay.
You know, as a relationship developed with my now wife, I was just always at the shop.
Sure.
So at some point they're like, well, let's put them to work. You know, like piercing was never something that like I set out to do. I'm glad it happened because I love my job. I love my life. It's a super fun experience. But it wasn't something that I was like, oh, I want to be a piercer. I'm going to hang out in the shop.
Sure.
You know, it just kind of happened, but I couldn't be more grateful for it.
So did you have to go to school then for piercing? Is there a...
No. So typically you're going to go through what's called an apprenticeship.
Okay.
So you're going to be at that studio learning for, honestly, years on end. So you first get your temporary license, and then you learn throughout that year. You have to meet so much criteria, so many hours of work, get specific other licenses and certificates, like bloodborne pathogens, things
sure,
like that.
Sure.
And then eventually you get your full license and you're a full-fledged piercer or tattoo artist.
Wow. Now there's more to it than I think what most people would think, especially myself who has zero piercings. I just think you got to, you know, I've seen it done at Walmart.
Yep.
You just go in, click, boom, there's something through your ear, you head on out. Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of funny story. My buddy, who's been on the podcast multiple times, one time, he went to Walmart to go get a piercing. The lady stuck him, and the gun got stuck in his ear.
Yep.
I was dying laughing at the jewelry department. I'm like, he's sitting there with a gun hanging off of his ear because he wanted to get a piercing before we went on a cruise with my parents back in college, and I was just dying laughing. So I'm like, this doesn't seem right.
Is this supposed to happen?
It's not supposed to happen. Yeah. So then what does it take then for safe piercings? Because I feel like that's not a safe piercing if he's got a gun hanging off of his ear.
Right, yeah. So honestly, piercing guns are just like not great at all.
Oh, so there's something else.
Yeah, so when you go get a piercing, you want to make sure they're using an actual piercing needle.
Okay.
Because piercing guns, what they're doing essentially is just loading up the blunt end of the jewelry and just shooting that through your ear.
Ooh.
That causes so much blunt force trauma. And if you go up to someone that you know, obviously, and feel their ear where they've been pierced with a piercing gun, it's going to feel like a little ball bearing in that spot.
Sure. Yes. Yes, that's true. It does.
Yep. Just because of all that scar tissue that's built up from that.
Okay.
So piercing needles are definitely the way to go. They're a lot sharper. They make a lot more clean of an incision. It's like it's less trauma overall. So it will just heal so much better with a piercing needle.
Okay, so then you say it's a piercing needle. Now, I'm just thinking, here's what I have in my head. So
yep.
I'm going to give you probably everyone the misconceptions. I think that you have a hot needle and you take someone's ear and you just pop it through. Where I'm assuming there's probably more to it than that because you just said it's a piercing needle. So all I'm thinking is a metal needle that you're sticking through someone's ear. Is there more to it then?
So yes and no. So there's different shapes of needles. So
okay.
There's like the typical tri-bevel needle, which is like what people usually picture in their mind with a piercing needle. There's something called an O needle, which is more like the end of it isn't a point. It's just a very sharp circular end that you can use instead of just like poking through. It's more of like a coring motion.
Oh.
So depending on certain piercings, you're going to use that.
Sure.
So there's just there's so many different things that go into piercing. And I love kind of breaking that misconception of, oh, it's just needle, poke, done deal. You know, there's honestly like geometry that goes into it. If your angles are off, that piercing's not going to heal well. You're going to wind up with like bumps on your piercings, things
sure.
like that. So, you know, there's that. The sterilization aspect is insane, too. Not many people think about all of that. So, yeah, there's just like...
What goes into the sterilization process?
Yeah, so you definitely want everything to be clean and sterile. So, like, your work environment, your tools, your needles, your jewelry. So I work with something that's called a statum. It's essentially an autoclave. If you know what an autoclave is or don't know what it is, you load your instruments into the machine, turn it on, it runs a cycle, which puts everything under immense pressure, cleans, sterilizes everything. And then once you pull it out, it's good to go.
Okay.
So with what I have, the Statum, you'll see them in a lot of dentist office, honestly. Like that's where piercers kind of took that from.
Sure.
Instead of a typical autoclave running like a 45-minute cycle to get everything clean, these can do it in about 7 to 10 minutes, depending on the type of cycle you're running. So sure. I can just throw everything I need for that specific appointment in there and then pull it out, and it says like freshly sterile, on the spot, ready to go.
So if someone came in just for a simple piercing, let's just say an ear, how long does it take for the appointment? Kind of in and out right away, or
from the, from the time they walk in, they're going to fill out paperwork. They're going to pick out jewelry. I need to run everything through my Statum, do the piercing, do aftercare. And from start to finish, with me, it, you know, it varies because, you know, all piercers work at a different speed.
Sure.
I would say from the time you get into the time you leave, 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
You know, I like to take my time and be like personable. I don't like people feeling like, all right, get in, stab, get out, you know.
Get in, stab, yeah. Get out. I love it. So when you're looking for a piercer, because I mean, there's multiple piercers just within Winona, I'm assuming. What would you be looking for when you're looking for someone to give you a piercing? Because obviously there's your basic, just straight in your ear, but then I'm looking at you and you got many different piercings over. So what would you want to look for in a piercer?
I want to look for someone who has pictures of fresh piercings as well as healed piercings in their portfolio.
Healed piercings.
Yeah.
That probably makes sense, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you can do a piercing, take a picture of it, post it, and, you know, it looks great in that moment, but how did it heal?
Sure.
You know, so you want to make sure the person you're going to has an idea of what they're doing, how their things are healing. You also want to look for someone who's just overall clean about what they're doing. Like if you go into a piercing studio and your piercer does not change their gloves from the time they set up till the time they're done with you, that's a red flag for me. That's cross-contamination like all over the place.
Okay.
Like in my opinion, you can go through anywhere of, I'd say, 4 to 5 sets of gloves per piercing appointment.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Just from like setup, cleaning and marking, doing the actual piercing, tear down, things like that.
Sure.
Like all of those steps need different gloves to avoid any sort of cross contamination.
Then, you know, I would not have thought that. I would have thought, oh, they have their gloves on, we're good to go.
Would
have thought that, like, okay, between this, now I got to take these off, do it again. Because you're right, it is like going into a doctor's office. You're piercing the skin. You don't want infections, obviously. That's
right.
The whole idea. Okay, so then when it comes to it, you just told me about that portion of how to find one. What about the jewelry that people get? There's many different types. There's gold, there's silver, there's stainless steel, I assume. I don't know much, but you could tell me more. Does it matter what you're getting pierced? What type of material you're getting pierced with? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, so typically when you get pierced, what I recommend starting with, at the very least, is just implant-grade titanium jewelry.
Okay, so that would be like the very basic, if I were to go in?
Yep.
Okay.
So for instance, if you were to go to the hospital and they were to put like a titanium piece of something into your body.
I have it in my face because I broke my face in a wrestling match.
Yep.
Yep.
it's going to be made out of that same material because we know that material is safe to be inside the body.
Okay.
There's a lot of body jewelry out there that is made out of unsafe materials that, you know, you can just buy online or at the mall, things like that.
What's an unsafe material?
So in my opinion, like surgical steel, you'll see a lot of that in like body jewelry, as far as like mall jewelry or like other shops who like maybe haven't gotten up to what the standard should be.
Okay. I mean, when you say surgical steel, that sounds safe to me.
Right.
In my mind.
Yeah. So the way I like to explain that is the word surgical steel is used more as a buzzword to make something sound better than what it really is.
Okay.
So while yes, surgeons will use surgical steel tools to work on you, they're not leaving those inside your body.
Okay. That's the difference.
Yep. So it's not safe to leave in the body. it's safe to use on the body.
Okay.
But we don't leave it in there.
Sure. Sure.
So I don't even bother with any of that. Our studio used to, but I was able to kind of like bring everything up to like titanium, and we also use 14 and 18 karat gold jewelry.
Okay.
So if you're feeling bougier, you know, we got you. We
is
got
gold you covered pretty there. Safe?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay. So gold is pretty safe. The titanium is the best to just start with.
Yep.
But when you said surgical steel, not a good one to keep in your body.
Yep. And I mean, there are different variants of steel. So like you can get implant grade stainless steel. I'm not saying steel in general is the devil, but implant grade stainless steel is safe to use. Implant grade titanium, safe. There's another one called niobium, which is also a safe alternative. And a lot of people like those ones because those are some of the only pieces of jewelry that you can get safely in black. A lot of people like black jewelry nowadays.
Okay, yeah.
And most of the time when you see like steel or titanium jewelry that's black, it's got a PVD coating.
Okay.
That is not safe to have in the body either.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I'm a lot of people have like black wedding rings now. I'm still the old school gold. I like my gold.
Yep.
I don't know. It just looked the least amount of femmy on me. That's how yep. I went. I looked at silver. I'm like, nah, it looks kind of feminine on me, but I always like the gold. I think I take that for my grandpa when it comes to that. So now I'm noticing you have many piercings. Are all those ones titanium or do you have different types for yourself?
Yeah. So the posts themselves, the part that's actually going through my body, those yep. are going to be titanium, but then all of the tops, like the decorative pieces, those yep. are all going to be 14 karat gold.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yep. So then if I were to walk into the store, how much does it cost to get a piece of jewelry for the basic standard?
Yeah. So it really depends on the piece you're choosing, just because we have a bunch of different options and they all vary in price because, you know, some of them are like more minimalist, you know, mm-hmm. just a basic prong set, cubic zirconia, you know, in titanium.
Yep.
Something like that, you're looking about $35 to $40
okay.
In our shop. But then on the flip side, we have some crazy gold pieces. I think the most expensive piece that I have is about $1,500.
Oh, wow. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, that one's a fun one. If you're a fan of the Avengers, it's actually Thanos' gauntlet.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I'm waiting for that Marvel fan with deep pockets to come through and see that one.
Yes, the Marvel fan needs to come for that
yep.
one. Yep. So, okay, now piercing is just more than just sticking a hole through you and going, because I'm looking at you and you got piercings in places I didn't even think you'd be able to pierce. Like you have one on the, for those who are watching, right up at the top of the nose area, kind of up between your eyes, if you're watching, there's a piercing up there and I'm wondering how does that happen? How do you get that through? Do you have to like pull the skin away and do it or?
Yeah. So that one, you do need specific anatomy for that one.
Okay.
You can't just like pierce anything on anyone. Like, sure, you can run a needle through there, but like, will it heal is a big question.
Sure.
So you want to make sure you have the right anatomy for it. If you don't have enough tissue up there to work with, it's just going to reject out. You're going to have a crazy scar in that spot.
Okay.
So yeah, that one, I went to a really good friend of mine, really awesome, well-known piercer named Lynn. And they, essentially for that one, you just get laid down on the table. They're going to kind of get the tissue in order, line everything up, and just kind of brace the tissue on the other side and just run that needle through nice and slow. And then pop the jewelry in, you're good to go. And you want everything to be nice and straight, so it's
right.
You can't just like willy-nilly.
You
like,
don't have it going at an angle.
Yeah. But it was a fun one. It was spicier than I thought it was going to be.
What does that mean? What does spicier mean? Pain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It was a fun one, though. I'm glad I did it.
Okay.
Not the worst piercing I've ever had as far as, like,
what's the worst one? Because you said you don't do them yourself. Someone else has to do them for you?
Yeah. So I have a bunch of different piercer friends that
okay.
if I want one, I'll just go
sure.
grab one from them.
So which one on you was the most painful?
For me, if we're going to lump them all together, because I have some large gauge piercings as well. So what that okay. means is the needle was a lot larger
sure.
than, you know, your typical piercing needle. So like my conch, like the bowl of my ear here.
Uh-huh. I saw that one.
The size of that jewelry there was the size of the needle.
Oh, no shit.
That
ouch.
One was awful. Like did not feel good whatsoever.
Oh, man.
And I got both sides done. I'm like, I'm not doing this again. So if one's done, I'm not being lopsided. Just do the other one. I'll cry about it later.
So, okay, now you were talking about the needle, and is it a slow process? I'm going back now. I'm going back because the gun is what I'm thinking of.
Yep.
Just shoots it through real quick, done. When you're talking about piercing with the needle, you were talking about, like, you kind of go in and turn it. Is that correct?
Like depends on the needle. Like, the O needles, you kind of, like, rotate a little bit. With your traditional tri-bevel, it's kind of more of a swooping motion. So for that, like, I'm not going to go too deep into, like, I'm not going to super nerd out on you. But
well, that's what we want, some nerd out on this. Right. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, as far as that goes, so there's a thing in the piercing industry called bevel theory, right?
Okay.
So when you picture the needle, you picture the whole needle.
Yep. Okay.
And a lot of people think as long as the long part that you're holding on to is straight when you go through, then everything's going to be fine. You know, that means it's straight.
Sure.
That's just a handle. That's got nothing to do with how straight the piercing is.
Oh, okay.
So you actually want to go off a different part of the needle. And once you go through with that part, then you're going to kind of give it like a nice swoop.
Okay.
And that's how you get that to go through smooth. Otherwise, the bevel on the end. The part right before the sharp piece meets the handle, that part's going to catch and it's just not going to feel great. So you want it to be like nice and smooth.
Okay.
I'd say like all piercers are different. Some people pierce a little slower. Some people are like crazy fast. I feel like I'm kind of in the middle there. I don't like to take it too fast just because I feel like then you kind of lose accuracy for me anyway.
Sure.
But I also don't want, I don't go what I feel is too slow just because then that's not fun for the client.
Sure.
So I like to give it like a nice middle of the road pace just to make sure I'm doing everything correctly, but still getting it done in like a timely manner.
What's considered medium pace? Like how long, if I said, hey, I want this part of my ear, the lobe part pierced, how long are we looking at that needle to when it comes back out?
Okay. So the needle going through is like the worst part of the piercing.
Mm-hmm.
That part's over with in a second, you know, pretty quick.
Okay, a second, good.
Yep. the rest of it is just what we call the jewelry transfer, is getting the needle out and getting the jewelry in.
Sure.
That part can take anywhere from 2 to 5 seconds.
Okay. So it's not that long of a process.
Right, yeah.
Okay, because you go, like, well, some are slow, some are fast, and I'm middle, like split second. Cool.
Yeah, like I'd say the longest I'd take for a piercing, depending on what it is, some are a little more complicated to get through, maybe like 10 seconds from start to finish.
Okay.
But the brunt of the worst part is over in the first second.
Sure. Okay, now I got some questions for you. What's the weirdest piercing you've ever had to do?
The weirdest piercing. So this wouldn't be like the weirdest. It's, I would say, one of the more uncommon ones that I've done. So there's a trend in the piercing industry nowadays called forward nostrils.
Forward nostrils?
Yep. Okay. So instead of doing like your traditional one over here, they're going to be right on the tip of the nose here.
Ooh, ouch.
So I've gotten to do some of those.
Okay.
Those are really fun. They're, like I said, it's not a common thing. This is Winona, you know? Like, not many people are getting those here.
Yep.
But every now and then, some people will. So those, like I said, I wouldn't call it weird. Just the more unusual, not so common, you know?
Sure. Is still the common one is right... normally right in the ear? Is that people come in for? Or?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll do earlobe piercings, like, every day. We'll do, like, an upper helix, like, right up in the corner there, nostrils, like...
What's the least common area people are piercing, then? Is it...
Least common?
Yeah. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot right now.
Oh, you're good. I'm just trying to think of ones that I don't typically do.
Well, I noticed you got one on your tooth. Is that a piercing, or is
that just... That's just a tooth gem. It's on there with, like, a dental adhesive.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought it was a piercing. I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
Oh, yeah. No, like, you can go to the dentist, and they'll, like, drill a hole in your tooth and put a gem in there and everything. I didn't want to do all
that. Sounds painful.
Yeah.
So, that sounds really bad.
So I just got the tooth gem put on there.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fun.
The one that's going through the middle of your nose, does that one hurt much? And then my question is, how do you get into the nostril area to do all that?
Oh, yeah. So the septum... that one, it's not awful. So there's a thin piece of tissue in there that we're aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit that thin piece, like, it's a piercing. You're going to feel it a little bit. There's no way around that. But it's not, it's honestly not that bad.
Okay.
Like, for such an aggressive looking piercing, it really doesn't hurt that bad. But if you miss that area and you go through, like, the hard cartilage, that's when it starts to not feel great. But mine was fun because that was another, like, large gauge one that I did because I knew I wanted to put a bunch of rings in there.
Sure. How many do you have in there right now?
I have 4 16-gauge rings in there right now. So for that one, I didn't want to go through the process of stretching it. I was like, that's going to take a while, and it's going to hurt real bad. So I was like, yo, let's just, instead of hurting for a long period of time to get to where I want, let's just hurt a lot now.
Okay. Let's just get it over with. Yep.
So we ran an 8-gauge needle through that.
Okay.
Let that fully heal up. And then once it was healed, you know, just popped a whole bunch of rings in there.
Sure. Now, okay, I got a question. My parents are, they usually listen every single week.
Yep.
You ever do a Prince Albert?
I have not.
No, you have not. Any, like, sexual area piercings have you had to do before?
So we do, like, nipples all the time.
Okay.
Back in the day, we used to do genital piercings. I personally stopped doing that just because I wanted to kind of further my education on it before I brought it back in.
Oh, so like you wanted to go get more knowledge on what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a, I would agree with you on that one. You better do it right the first time.
Yeah, that's an area that you don't exactly want to just like be winging it with.
Yeah, you don't want to wing it on that.
Yeah.
So you have had to do genital piercings before?
I did when I first started.
Okay.
But back in the day, it was, you know, piercing was kind of going through like its Wild West phase. And,
sure, the old Wild West.
Yeah. And, you know, like a lot of piercers will network with each other and kind of give each other tips. Mm-hmm. And like, I started realizing from those tips that like maybe the way that it, I'm seeing it being done isn't exactly like the best way.
Sure.
So I personally stopped doing them until I get that further education that I would like to be able to bring it back in.
Okay.
And I go to what's called the APP conference in Vegas every year.
What does APP stand for?
Association of Professional Piercers.
Okay.
So every year in Las Vegas, piercers from literally all over the world, like Europe, Australia, US, Mexico, like everywhere. They'll all fly to Vegas, and it's a week-long conference full of different classes, workshops to do like hands-on technique, things like that.
Okay.
Just a bunch of furthered education.
Sure.
So I like to go out there, gain a whole bunch of knowledge, bring it back to Winona just so I can kind of like give the people here the best experience that I can.
Yeah. Well, so when you go to the conference, how do you practice piercing? Do they have like dummies that you do it up, or how
so
does that work?
In different workshops, like some people will have like a live volunteer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
other workshops, it'll be something more like if we're working on like needle techniques and it's something that you want to practice over and over again, we'll do like bananas.
Oh, okay.
Something that's safe to just like repeatedly
just keep doing it. Yeah.
Things like that. Those are super fun just because that's the way I feel I learn the best. It's just like hands-on, getting in there. They do have a bunch of courses where it's, you know, like they have someone with a projector and you're going through slides.
Sure.
And like that's super informative and you learn a lot as well. But just the way my brain works, it's like I need to be in there and like...
And do something with your hands. Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that because I could just fall asleep watching someone do a projector.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't get the actual hands-on experience until you get to a actual person, which that would be a little nerve-wracking, I feel, if you're doing any piercing. Okay, I want to go back to the genital piercing because you've done them before.
Yep.
Do you remember your first one? And if you do remember your first one, do you remember what was going through your head before you were about to do this? Like... Shit, I don't want to screw this up.
Yeah, you know? No, I do remember, and I was shaking uncontrollably.
Oh, no.
So that did not put the person at ease whatsoever.
They're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Was it a man or a girl, a lady?
It was a woman.
A woman, yep. Okay.
Yep. And, yeah, I mean, when everything was all said and done, turned out good, you know, like no hiccups. It was just like the jitters from like, shit, I've never done this before.
Yeah, okay. Got to start somewhere, right? Yep. Wow, I would be pretty nervous. But also, I'd be kind of like, okay, there's someone here with their pants down or top off or something. I feel like that would be kind of unusual, too, at the same time.
Yeah, so, like, when I was first getting into piercing, like, I feel like there's always that weird little feeling of like, this feels weird, you know? But after a while, like skin is skin. Everything's tissue to me at this point.
Sure.
Like I could totally understand, like if someone were to come in for a nipple piercing and they're, you know, shy or a little reserved, I totally get it. Okay. Me personally, I'm like, you know, it's just skin. That part of your body is the same as your earlobe to me. You know?
Yeah, that's true. You're looking at it a whole different perspective. You're looking at it as, how can I make this the best piercing possible with maybe even the least amount of pain if possible? Yep. And they're thinking probably totally different. Like, oh my gosh, I'm exposing a private area of my body. And you're thinking, I just want to, you know, do it correctly and skin. So I want to go off of, you said nipple piercings are maybe the most common genital type.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing that, is it pain? Do you know how much, is it painful? I don't know. Is it more painful than something else?
I've had mine done. It hurts.
Okay.
I've definitely had worse piercings.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to lie to anyone and say, like, oh, it doesn't hurt. You know, you're going to be fine. Like,
yeah.
You're going to feel it. It's tolerable is the best way that I can put it.
Okay.
And, like, 99% of the people that come through and get them done, they'll get them both done. Every now and then you'll have someone who's like, they'll get one. I can't do the other one.
You know,
like, it's not going to happen. I was like, I get it. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Or here.
Yeah. But most of the time, you know, they'll come through, they'll get them both done. And when it's done, they're like, it wasn't that bad. You know, like it didn't feel great,
sure,
but not as bad as I thought it was.
Not as bad as this one that was, I don't even know what this area is every ear.
Oh, the conch. It was like a blowtorch went off in my ear.
Oh, gosh.
I did not like that.
Is there a reason why people are doing their nipples more now? Is there like a sensation with it, or is it just that's the trend?
I think it's just more has to do with like freedom of expression.
Okay.
You know, sure. And like a lot of times it's not even so much for like, oh, I got this, you know, so other people can see that. It's more like I got this because this makes me feel better about myself.
Sure.
And I love the fact that the industry that I'm in can do that for people.
Okay.
And some people might think, oh, it's just a piercing. Yeah. But like just the other day, I literally did a piercing, and as the client and her friend were walking outside, they did a literal jump for joy.
No way.
Yeah. And like everyone in the shop was like, what was that? I'm like, you know, like in a freeze frame at an old TV show.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it was literally that. And I was like, this shop rocks. Like, if so I can make that happen.
You've already answered a question I was going to ask you, which was, is there like a memory that you have of like one of your best piercings where someone just was so thankful and it made you feel good? And you kind of probably already answered the question. But is there a time that someone came in and they just felt so awesome? And when you were done, you're like, I felt great about doing that. That was amazing helping them out.
Yeah. So probably got a couple of those. One of those off the top of my head. So we have a lot of college students come through.
Yep.
So there was one time, student, bunch of their friends came through. This was years and years ago, got pierced. About 4 years later, a person comes through and like, I pierce a lot of people. I can't remember everyone, you know? And that person, said the first thing they did when they came to town to go to college was they came and got a piercing with their friends, and they wanted that to be the last thing they did after they graduated. So everything just like comes full circle.
Sure.
That was a really cool moment for me.
Okay.
I was like, just being able to like be a part of someone's life like that, like unintentionally. And it's just like, it was just a really cool moment that was like, wow, I didn't realize like we had that effect on people.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have, you know, I didn't think that either. So they came in first year of college and then their last year of college.
Yep.
And they got piercings like on their ear or something.
Oh, yeah. Like
something those friends did. Or
yep. Like they would come in like, I think they came in like once or twice in between as
okay.
well. But yeah, it was, you know, that was the first thing they did when they got to town, and they wanted that to be the last thing they did when they left.
That's
so
cool.
Once they graduated, that was like their treat for themselves.
That's awesome. Well, and now I got another question about another piercing, which is the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is got to be painful as all can be. I don't know. Don't have it done, but
yeah,
maybe you can explain more on that.
So I used to have mine done.
Okay.
The piercing itself wasn't awful. It's going to be swollen for a little while.
Okay.
That's the worst part about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
And you're not going to be able to eat like a big burger when you're done. You know, you're going to want to keep it light, like liquids mostly. Like you can eat like some solids, but like take it easy.
Sure.
So yeah, tongue piercings, they're not awful. I personally don't do them anymore. Main reason being, you know, we did a lot of them back in the day in the piercing industry.
That was like a big trend, I feel.
Right. And over time, you know, we noticed like, hey, you know, there's a lot of like tooth damage happening here. So
sure. Yeah. You bite down on that. Yeah. Ouch.
So like me personally, I don't want to feel responsible for somebody else's like dental bills or anything. So
yeah, that wouldn't be good.
I don't do them anymore. Like I have a lot of friends who still do and like, awesome, you know, cause at the end of the day, it's their body, their choice. They can do what they want with it. I'm just not going to be the one to do it, but I can point you to a buddy of mine who will.
Sure. Know? I got that. Well, now you've talked a little bit, you kind of alluded to it a while ago, but I want to talk about the care after you're done with it. No matter, I mean, maybe there's a general way of caring for it. Maybe it depends on where it's at the bottom. What do you do afterwards, and how long do you have to care for it so you don't get an infection? Because I feel like that would be the biggest concern you would have after a piercing.
Yeah, so for the majority of piercings, they're pretty simple. We recommend what's called sterile saline.
Okay.
And that's something you can find in any first aid aisle. It's just going to be like a sterile saline wound wash. You're just going to spray the piercing, like let's say an ear piercing. Spray the front side, spray the back side, pat everything dry, leave it alone. You don't need to twist or turn anything. You don't need to move anything around. The less you touch everything, the better.
Okay.
So it's pretty minimal for most piercings. You don't want to do any like swimming. So we'll have a lot of people come in the summer and get pierced and then they're like, oh, I'm going to the beach right when we're done.
Oh no.
I'm like, you probably shouldn't. Like we just created an open wound on your body and you're about to get into some dirty water.
Yeah. Right.
So that's not going to be the best move for you.
What if you're going to go to the pool that has chlorine?
That's also something I don't recommend just because chlorine is pretty harsh.
Okay.
Like while it does kind of like clean the water and everything, it's very aggressive on fresh piercings.
Okay. Well, I know how it feels in my eyes.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yes. Which kind of brings me to another point. One of the things we like to say in the industry for aftercare is if you wouldn't spray it in your eye, don't spray it on your piercings. So
that's a great rule of thumb.
Yep. Chlorine is going to burn your eyes. Sure. You get out of the pool. They're all red and hurt. Sterile saline, like I've literally done it in front of clients before. I'll just spritz myself in the eye. It's just like a flush at that point.
Sure. Okay. So
you just want something nice and gentle is the main thing.
Sure.
Because all that saline is there to do is get like the dirt and debris and crusties out of there. There's no magic ingredient that's going to make anything heal faster. Your body's going to heal at the rate it wants to, no matter what you put on it.
Okay.
But typically for most piercings, you're looking between 6 to 12 months for a full heal.
Oh, that was my next question. You already answered. 6 to 12 months. I was not expecting that long.
There are some that take a little less time, you know, like 4 to 6 months.
Okay.
But the vast majority of piercings, like an upper cartilage piercing, 6 months, bare minimum, if there's no hiccups along the way, it healed perfectly, which rarely it ever does.
Sure.
Like, let's be honest here. You know, people sometimes sleep on it or catch it on something, and that's going to extend the healing time.
Okay.
So sometimes it can take upwards of a year to fully heal before you can, like, start actively swapping out jewelry and things like that.
Oh, so you should keep it in for that long, the same thing you got pierced with.
Yep. So there's a little caveat to that. So we'll pierce someone with a longer piece of jewelry to start with, just because there's always going to be some swelling.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, a few weeks after the initial piercing, they'll stop back in. We'll put a shorter post in there, and then they just heal the rest of the time with that short post.
Okay.
Because if you leave the long one in for too long, let's say the swelling goes down, you have all that excess length just hanging out the back of the piercing. That's a snag potential. It's also going to give it the opportunity to like move around a bunch in the piercing. So all of those things are going to lead to what we call irritation bumps.
Okay.
So have you ever seen someone with a piercing and they've got just like a little bump on the side?
Or yeah. Anything? Yeah. It's like red.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's an irritation bump. There's like a laundry list of reasons why those occur. But not downsizing your jewelry, which is just shortening the post, is a big reason why those happen.
Okay. Now, if I wanted to come in and get a piercing, is there a price range depending on where I'm getting my piercing at? Like from your earlobe to your nose, is there a different price range?
Yeah, so most of the piercings that we offer are going to be, like, the piercing fee is going to be the same price for most of them.
Okay, that was another question I was going to have. Is the piercing fee just a flat fee, and then it depends on what else you're getting?
Yeah, the ultimate determining factor is what jewelry you pick.
Okay.
Just because not all jewelry is the same. You know, we have a basic, you know, prong set clear gem piece. But then over here, we also have, like, a 5-gem marquee cut genuine amethyst set in gold piece.
Sure.
Those aren't going to be the same price.
No. Or the Thanos one.
Right. So it really depends on that. I'd say on average, like let's say we'll take nose piercings, for example. Most people that come through our shop will get like the same piece of jewelry for their nostril piercing. At the end of the day, most of the time we're looking between $70 to $80 for that.
Sure.
Sometimes people will get a fancier piece, so that will kind of bring the price up a little bit.
Okay.
But most of the time, it's like relatively inexpensive. For something that's going inside your body, you just want to make sure it's high quality. So like higher quality jewelry does cost a little bit more, but it's worth it in the long run.
Okay. Now, you were talking to me a little bit ago about that you were thinking that you're going to start up a podcast.
Yeah.
About piercing. What, I mean, I love podcasts. So what's the idea behind that then? Do you, is it just strictly about piercing, or what do you have for an idea?
Yeah. So it's going to be piercing oriented. I'm sure we're going to go off the rails here and there.
That's always the best. Though, yeah. When you start going off the rails.
Yep. But it's going to be mainly about piercing. It's going to be me and my buddy, Alex Peach.
Okay.
He's a piercer in Wisconsin. I've been best friends with that guy forever. And we've always talked about starting a podcast or something. And one of my buddies just started a podcast studio in La Crosse.
Okay.
And we're like, yo, this is kind of like a sign. Like,
sure.
We need to do this now. So we're going to be doing that. And it's going to be just something that's like lighthearted. We want to give it like some comedic value. We want to go over different like jewelry options and spotlight new jewelry coming out from different companies.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just because there's always new pieces coming out, so we just kind of want to like be like, hey, look at these, you know.
Yep.
And just kind of like point people towards jewelry companies that are trustworthy and good quality. So that's a big part of it. And then we also want to bring some other piercers on, as well as bring some clients on.
Okay.
Just because I feel like bringing piercers on is going to be fun and we can get fun stories from them. But then bringing clients on is going to be good, because at that point, that's a perspective that we don't really get to hear a whole lot. So
how they're feeling when they come in?
Right. Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Yeah. Just because like we all know how we feel during every piercing,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we don't get to hear it from the other side.
Sure.
Very much. So I think that'd be a fun thing to kind of bring different clients on and just, you know, ask them a bunch of questions about their experience getting pierced, you know, wherever.
Do you have a name for it already?
Yeah. So it's going to be called the Bevel's Advocate.
The Bevel's Advocate. Yep. All right.
Just because part of the needle is called the bevel.
Yep.
And I thought the wordplay of that was kind of funny.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah.
And so you're going to, so your friend has a podcast studio.
Yep.
So I guess, what does that mean? Because I'm just set up in a garage. Does that mean like you got to go rent the space out to go record every episode?
Yeah. So his studio is called Driftless Podcast Studio out in La Crosse. And he does charge, I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but yeah, anyone can go in, rent the space. I believe it's hourly, so you can go in, shoot for an hour.
Yep.
It's got all the equipment you need.
It's all
there.
Ready to go.
Yep, you just got to show up and record.
No, that's not bad. I had a buddy that told me I should do that with one of the rooms in this garage here. I should just turn it into a podcast studio and rent it out, and I didn't even know that was really a thing to do. I mean, I know about recording studios for like music, which is probably similar, but I never thought about that. And I'm like, that's not a bad idea, but I don't think I'm going to do that yet, because I'm just still trying to figure this one out myself.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it before? Any podcasting or not?
I have not. I've done different like live streams.
Sure.
On like Instagram, things like that.
Yeah.
I don't really consider that like podcasting so much.
Right.
So like, this right here is honestly my first podcasting experience.
Oh, well, yeah. Perfect. I'm glad I could pop your cherry on that.
Hell yeah.
Well, I noticed that, you know, you reached out to me on TikTok, and I'm like, wait, you got like 350,000 followers.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, how'd that happen? Like, Did you do something one day and it just clicked and everyone's like, holy shit, who's this guy?
Yeah. So TikTok used to be Musical.ly, right? That's what it was before TikTok. So I had a Musical.ly account and then I never really used it ever. And then it changed it to TikTok. And my wife was, on there just scrolling all the time. And I'm like, what are you doing? So, they showed it to me because it had changed a little bit. Uh-huh. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. I could do something like that, but like about piercings. And I started doing that.
Sure.
And back then, there really wasn't any other piercers on the app. There was maybe like two other ones, but it wasn't really like piercing heavy content.
Okay.
So I just started doing a bunch of that, different skits on there about piercings, just like, creating little piercing memes, things like that. Yeah. And then also some educational content because clients, it's not their job to know like different things to look for with as far as getting a piercing, who to go to for a piercing. And there's no real resources for them to find things like that. Sure. So I figured, I will put out different videos explaining like, here's some things to look for, here's some things to avoid, things like that. And it just kind of blew up.
Do you remember the video that on TikTok that really like, oh my gosh, that one got a bunch? And what were you doing?
There's a few different videos. I can't remember off the top of my head which one was like the one that did it.
Yeah.
But they were all just like super cringy. There'd be, the audio track and then you'd finish the line of the skit with what the audio track is saying type of deal.
Okay.
One of those. But it was always just like kind of poking fun at little things of the piercing industry. Okay. And things like that.
I feel like that's what people gravitate towards is when you take a stereotype and you kind of poke fun at it. I mean, that's what comedians do. They really just take a current event that's stereotypical and they just make fun of it is really all a comedian does, I think.
Right.
And I know there's more to it than obviously that, but do you get any money off of TikTok at all? Or
They had different programs to where like you could make money off of like your videos and your content and whatnot. But I noticed that when I like tried to start monetizing things, cause I was like, oh, this is going really good. Let's try and make money off of it. The second I started to try and monetize it and join like their creator program and whatnot, everything plummeted.
Really?
Like views went down, just everything. And that was a big issue that a lot of people were having because once you join like their creator program, you just weren't getting the views anymore. So
that's weird.
Yeah, that was a kind of the rough part about that. I got to a point where I'm like, I don't care if I make money from social media.
Sure.
Like if I do, awesome. If not, like it's just fun making content.
Has it brought someone in to use you as a piercer then because of your social media? They go, oh, I saw you on fill in the blank. I want to come here and this is why I'm here today.
Oh yeah. I've had people travel from like pretty far away.
No kidding.
Oh yeah.
How far?
I've had someone come up from Florida. They flew in.
It's quite a distance.
Oh yeah. I had someone I didn't know that this is how far they were traveling. I thought they were just coming from the Twin Cities.
Sure.
They're like, oh, I got to drive there. So it might take me a little bit. So let's do this time. And they show up and they're like, oh yeah, I just got in from Kansas City.
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, it's a 9-hour drive.
Oh wow.
I was like, I appreciate it. And like, I'm very flattered, but you could have got this done a lot closer. Right.
What would they say? Did they say why they came?
They like my content online. They like the jewelry I post, and they wanted something from me. So it's kind of like a little heartwarming. Like
that is cool.
Get the warm fuzzies from that.
Yeah. Is there any? Do you ever have, or have you ever had one that just went bad for you?
And
you're
it
is one that stands out in your mind. Like, oh gosh, it was embarrassing. Even maybe.
Yeah, one that I can think of off the top of my head. Just because like, at the end of the day, piercers are still human. Every now and then we don't like it, but mistakes happen. It's hard to avoid it 100% of the time.
Sure.
I was doing a septum piercing one day.
Septum right through the nose, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, one of these. And the needle and the jewelry that I grabbed were two different sizes, and I had not noticed.
Oh.
So the needle gauge was thinner than the jewelry gauge.
Okay.
So as I'm going through, I get the needle through just fine, whatever, and I'm trying to follow through with the jewelry, and it is not going.
Sure.
And since it wasn't a smooth jewelry transfer, there's nothing like plugging the wound. because the reason there's not a ton of blood during most piercings is because there's always like pressure on the wound, right? Like it's a smooth transfer. There's no time for like it to start gushing blood.
Sure.
It was not a smooth transfer that time.
Uh-oh.
So it bled a lot and I felt like such an idiot. And, the client was really nice about it. Like they're like, hey man, things happen. Like, I'm not mad at you. But like, can we redo it later? I don't want to go through that again right now.
Sure.
Fair enough. So there's like plenty of times if you ask any piercer and they tell you that they haven't spent time in the broom closet crying after a botched piercing, they are lying to you.
They're lying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as we're starting to wind down here, what else do people need to know or should know about you as a person? I mean, you obviously we know about your piercing life, but what else do people need to know about Casey?
About me?
Yeah.
God, that's tough. I feel like I'm just like a regular dude. Like as far as things to know about me, like work in town here. I got an awesome family. I got an awesome career. I get to experience different types of people every day. It's just a fun time for going for like personal quirks. We were talking about this earlier. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
Like professional wrestling. Like sometimes people will bring in different, like for a tip instead of money, they'll bring in like different objects. I've gotten like little wrestling figures and things like that.
Cool.
Big fan of Crab Rangoons.
Oh,
another
yes.
little fun fact.
Crab Rangoons yeah. and some General Tso's chicken.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
Dude, it's great. I had to cut back on them. Like I was telling you before, I'm on like a little bit of a diet right now.
Okay.
So instead of crushing like a dozen, I'll have like one or two.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going good. I've lost like almost 100 pounds now.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's really good then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that just for personal reasons or did you, some health concerns?
A little bit of both. I've been big all my life.
Okay.
And, you know, I got kids now. They're only getting bigger. They're only getting more energetic.
Yeah.
And I just not able to keep up. So that's kind of like the main driving force on that is like, dude, if I want to keep up with these kids, I need to get into shape.
Okay.
That there's like a little bit of like heart disease in my family. So
okay,
I'm just trying
sure.
to like not get to that point, you know?
Yeah. Well, you said you're a wrestling fan and when this is being recorded, it's right now it's 11:39 Saturday of WrestleMania. I assume you want to watch or you probably will watch on your phone at some point.
Oh, I'll find a way.
What's the one match you're looking forward to then? Mine's the Cena Cody Rhodes one.
I would probably say that's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
Just because. So here's the thing. I like Cody. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like someone else needs to have the belt.
Sure, sure.
I don't want Cena to have it though.
Someone else.
I want somebody else to have it.
Sure.
I feel like it might go to Cena. And then they're just going to kind of riff off of that, which is fine, you know.
Well, it's his last year, supposedly.
Yeah.
They all say
that. So, like, go out with a bang. I do love the fact that he kind of made a heel turn, though.
Except for, as people have probably heard, I hate how it's happening because he sounds whiny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it sounds like it's forced in my mind. It doesn't sound like a real heel. It just sounds like, oh, well, we wanted to do this real quick, and now he's going to come out whining. And I'm like, I don't know. Could have been a better way, I think.
But. Yeah, yeah. I think there's better routes they could have taken, but I just love the fact that it's happening.
We'll see tomorrow night. I'm interested to see what the storyline is of if he's going to win, and if so, how is he going to win, and then how is the rest of the year going to go? Because
right.
I always think he's going to win it, and then he'll lose it like at the end of the year at SummerSlam or a Survivor Series or something,
yep.
just before he rides off into the sunset, as they say. So.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing I'm really hoping for that happens is I love the Wyatt Six.
Okay.
I want some sort of like something to happen with them at WrestleMania because they've been gone for a minute.
Sure, know? Sure.
And that's like my favorite group in the WWE
is, okay.
right now. They're, I don't know, I've always been drawn to like the darker kind of
dark side.
Yeah, like those gimmicks like Undertaker, Kane. Yep. Like I've always loved those. Bray Wyatt, like just a genius.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, so sure. I really hope they bring them in for something this
okay.
weekend.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to this podcast as we're coming to the end?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. This has been great. Yeah. I thought I was going to be, I came in real nervous. You know, this is like the first one I've done. But it was real chill. It was a real fun time.
Oh, thank you. Now you know how to maybe structure yours when the clients come in.
Yeah.
Just come in and just relax, have fun. And you know, obviously, you're going to be talking about something you love, so it makes it really easy for you. For me, you know, when people come in, it's all different types of people coming in. Like last week, I had on a guy that does, he's a decorator, he teaches dance classes, he does drag shows. And then before that, I had wrestling on. We talked about WrestleMania predictions that came out. And then, every single week is different for me. So it's always exciting for me to listen. And then when someone reaches out to me, it makes me even feel better about what I'm doing then. So, well, we're going to end it then here. As the TV says back there, like, share, subscribe, 5-star this podcast. Share it with your friend because it does help in the algorithms if you do those things for more people to hear about this podcast. And also, you're going to be looking out for Casey's podcast coming out soon. What's it called again?
Bevel's Advocate.
Bevel's Advocate. And then also, for anything else you want to plug, say it right now. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, pretty much any social media platform.
Sure.
If you just type in, so on most of them, the word Space Case will be in there somewhere.
Space Case.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you type that in, you'll probably find me pretty quickly on any platform.
Perfect. And I will actually put those in the show notes for those who are listening and or watching. But again, this has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. I want to thank Casey for coming on in, and we're going to give one big cheers to Casey. There we go. Have a great week.